You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The only place to read your emails and tweets. It's Wednesday, May 12th. This is the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. I'm J.E. Skeets. Hashtag full squad, baby. Right there, we got Mr. What You Need to Know, Tass Mellis.
Fellow Beachers.
Hello. We got the Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
The international man of mystery, always taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
And last, but certainly not least, making the magic happen, is JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. JD, are you okay?
Hello.
What's going on?
I got a frog in my throat or something. Okay. I don't know what's happening.
Okay. Well,
it's all this radon down here.
Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Please like, comment, and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Keep sending in your NBA questions. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet them in, @NoDunksInc. Drop them in the YouTube comments section if you want to do that as well. And before we get to the cues, Tassie, Thursday night, May 13th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We need all of you to roll through for the No Dunks Happy Hour Charity Drive live here on YouTube, 8:30 p.m. Eastern start on May 13th. That's Thursday night. We're going to hang out, you know, celebrate the end of another regular season as it draws to its conclusion here as we get ready for the play-in tournament. We'll play some games, I'm sure. But most importantly, we're raising some money for a good cause, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. So come join us. Bring your wallets. And let's raise some money there on Thursday night, having a blast while we do it. Thursday night, May 13th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern start. All right.
Bring your coins.
Mm.
Pour your coins on us. Pour your coinage on me. Just give us a few coins. You know that junk. It's a weird
good
visual.
Coinage on me.
It's weird, but you've got junk drawer coins that are just sitting around.
Yeah, look at this. Hold on. Just
pour some coinage out here.
Pour some coinage right now.
Those coins are clinking.
Tomorrow night, if we hit $2,600 for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, I will pour this jar of coins on me, very sexy-like, cool, and make a hell of a lot of noise, I'm sure.
Okay, yeah. I like this, Tass is getting some coins right now, but Skeets, you got the bed right there behind you, you lay down, just have somebody pour that coin all over you,
all right.
Door slammed,
you
got, and Tass has returned. Yeah, see, you got said, one coin, man.
Yeah. No, look at this, I got 50 centavos.
That's why are you holding it like a magician?
Wow, well, yeah, I know.
It's that was like, pretty cool, actually, how you held that for some reason. All right.
Bing.
It's pretty good.
Gotcha.
Not bad. This is great podcasting right here. We're doing magic tricks with coins.
Here, I'll add to it. While I was running for the, it's a little jar that says casino money on the side. I mean, was it really worth the sprint that I just did across my house? Probably not. While I was doing the sprint, I'm like, yeah. You can't see the coins, and that's the problem. Yeah. It's not a clear jar.
That's nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of coins in there.
Man, I got no coins around. I'm a little... I feel like such a loser right now. No coins within reach.
That's the problem with Bitcoin, man. It doesn't really exist, does it? I mean, these coins are legit, man. They're the real deal. What is that one?
Oh, JD.
JD's showing dollar bills. Yeah.
$20 there? What do you got? Nice.
$20.
Super
interesting. I get all my money from my kids. They get birthday money and Christmas money and stuff, and then they'll like, hey, I want to buy a video game. And I just say, all right, pay up. And they just give me the money and they put it on my card. So.
Oh, okay. That's how you're doing it over there.
I got like $350 around here just in 20s lying around.
Nice. Baller. Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll save some of that for tomorrow night. Again, 8:30 p.m. Eastern start, the No Dunks Happy Hour charity drive. Okay, what a fascinating start to this one. People running around their houses trying to find their coins to show off and their dollar bills. Well, let's see that tomorrow night, everybody out there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Let's do it.
All right.
I just needed a reason to finish my my steps ring on my watch.
Oh,
so
good.
That's why I got it done.
Huge.
All right, let's start her off here. Hey, No Dunkers. With the playoffs on the horizon, I've been thinking about what players are likely to step up big for their teams. Given the cryptocurrency and NFT craze, it got me thinking, what player would you invest stock in going into these playoffs? It doesn't have to be a player on a team that's likely to go far, but just a player that could have a big impact for their team. The player I'm investing in is Paul George. Now I know what you're thinking. Bad investment. Well, you might be right, but I'm buying low and hopefully selling high. As an OKC fan, I've rooted for PG to bounce back since 2019's OKC Blazers bye-bye series. And last year didn't help with the Clippers implosion, but I'm doubling down and hopefully I can get some sweet, sweet ROI. Love you guys and keep up the great work with the show. That's from Casey in Ireland. So Skeets, who'd you invest stock in? You're in the NFT game.
Yeah, well, I like the Paul George pick. You know, I'm on record here that I'm sort of cheering him on a little bit. I'd like to see him bounce back from some of those brutal games that he's had in playoffs past or more recently, I guess. And I think he could. I think he could prove some of the haters wrong if he balls out like he has all season. A couple names that haven't been in the playoffs before that I think are, I guess, a bit of a buy low and maybe they pop off. Devin Booker, as a huge Devin Booker fan. I mean, you could see in a world where he does similar things to what a Jamal Murray did and a Donovan Mitchell did, where he finally gets in a playoff series and has some like huge scoring games. Like, I don't think that's that far-fetched that he goes for 40 once, twice, three times, whatever, in a playoff series, or at least moving forward with the Suns. And then in the East, a guy who hasn't been in, a lesser name than a Booker, but Bogdanovich with the Hawks. I could see him having some big games, too, in a playoff series, you know, against maybe the Knicks or a Heat, wherever they end up falling there. And that is a much more of a buyer lower type of guy. And then maybe he, has some Tyler Hero-like buckets, performances in him, like Hero was down in the bubble last year. So I'll go him. And, of course, I got to throw Andrew Wiggins in the mix, too.
Bye, so bye, hot low. Right now.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, I mean, it's up for him, but it's still low because overall.
I guess.
It'd be hilarious if Andrew Wiggins just like dominated a couple play-in games or playoff games or something like that. So those are three guys that come to mind, but I do like the Paul George pick for sure.
All right, Trey, what do you got?
I love an IPO, Skeets, the initial playoff offering. I'm surprised you choose Bogdanovich, though, from the Hawks. What about Trae Young? He could be a Jamal Murray or, you know, a Devin Booker in the bubble sort of thing. Once in the playoffs, you know, it becomes so important to be a perimeter guy who's getting buckets from the outside. We've seen as the pressure goes up, some of these guys with the insane confidence, it just brings it out of them. In the playoffs, I think the PG, yeah, that's a good one. Obviously a great player, strong fundamentals, but I'm still holding on to my butt coin, you know, the Jimmy Butler cryptocurrency for anybody who wants to work hard and be the man. I bought it back in 2011 pretty cheap. A lot of ups, a lot of downs, but it always seems to peak during playoff time. And guess what? Jimmy Butler maybe has had the most low-key great season in the league so far. Really under the radar since the Heat haven't been stacking up wins until lately, but I would say he's got a case as a top 10 player in the league this season. 21 points per game, career-high field goal percentage. He's almost at 50% from the field this year. Still only like 21 from three. Weird stuff. Career-high in assists for Jimmy Butler as well right now. 7.2 per game, 10th in the league. He leads the league in steals per game, top 10 in free throw attempts. 5th in PER, 5th in win shares, 5th on Basketball Reference's MVP tracker. Skeets, I know you love that. Also, the fewest minutes Jimmy Butler has played in a season since his rookie year. The Heat are peaking right now. This is the healthiest they've been all season. Jimmy has been nails in the playoffs throughout his career. Get you some butt coin while you still can.
Hey, when did you buy that? 2011-teen? Is that what you said? Everybody in the stream team is like, did he say 2011-teen?
Did I say 2011-teen?
Yeah, you did. I heard it too. I'm like, what the hell is that? Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great pick. I'm interested to see where Jimmy Butler falls on the all-NBA squads. You know, I assume he's going to be on one of them. But will he be second
at
team?
At this point, maybe.
Will he be third? Yeah. I do think he's going to make one of them. I just don't know which one. I think Zach Lowe and Kevin Arnovitz saying maybe he's on the first team, which I was like, whoa. I don't know about that. But we'll see. We'll see soon enough. Any guys that you would be buying into right now, buying low on Lee as they head into the playoffs?
Well, the Milwaukee Bucks brought Drew Holiday in for the playoffs. So I think he'd be a good investment because the season's going pretty well for him. He shot the ball well. He's slotted into that role very nicely. And now it's payday, really. This is what they wanted him for because they got rid of Bledsoe because he couldn't perform in the playoffs. And now they've got a guy who, you know, at the end of the game, he very likely could have that last shot. I mean, there's other options, of course, with Giannis and Chris Middleton, but if the ball's in Drew Holiday's hands, you feel confident that he'll make the right decision, whether it's a pass or a shot. And defensively, he's an upgrade on Eric Bledsoe. Bledsoe's a good defender at times, but Drew Holiday is the guy who we've seen a couple of times try to shut down guys and really get in someone like Kyrie Irving's face. So this is it. This is the whole offseason right now, I think, for Milwaukee. It's like, they wanted to go better. They knew that Eric Bledsoe wasn't going to take them there, so they got Drew Holiday. Can he now step it up in the playoffs? We've seen him had success, of course, with the Pelicans in that one time when they upset the Blazers. He was influential in that series. So now let's see. Let's see what they get in Drew Holiday, because if he has a huge playoff series, that could really determine just how far the Bucks go as well. I mean, you know you're going to get Giannis is going to play well. You know Middleton's going to play well. But who's that other guy? Who's that third wheel on the team that they haven't had in years gone by? Drew Holiday's the man they're investing in, and so am I. Give me some Drew coin.
Okay. Drew Holiday says he's the best defensive player in the league. He is every year, I guess he was saying. So, you know, you don't hear Drew Holiday sort of saying stuff like that often. He's a great defender. I don't think he's going to win DPOY, but I assume he'll be all defense first team, or at least second team. He'll probably make the first one. And there's Simmons there. Do you count Butler as a forward or a guard? Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. Tass, anyone else to add here to this list?
Well, I'm going ultimate buy low. Try and hit that ceiling. Try and hit a jackpot in the first or second round, because I think Kristaps Porzingis' stock has never been lower. Mm. But,
wow.
But the ceiling is extremely high. He's a unicorn, and maybe it's just because I'm listening to the Shattered podcast about the Knicks history and hearing scouts give the down low on Kristaps Porzingis and sell it to Phil Jackson and what happened in New York and how good he was. And the fact that he is having a really good year despite the injuries. He hasn't played the last seven games with a knee thingy, and no one really trusts that Kristaps Porzingis can be healthy for a run, but he's got 20 points per game, which is shocking to me. His highest field goal percentage of his career, highest true shooting percentage, highest two-point percentage. The guy is balling when he's out there. It's just if he gets out there. I can buy into the skills of Kristaps Porzingis right now, and hopefully they're just keeping him out because he can be extremely healthy in the playoffs for them, and that's the plan. But it's just one of those things. Kristaps Porzingis can raise the ceiling of that team. He was really, really good when he played this season. But it just seems like he's almost a foregone conclusion. Like he just seems like an afterthought, I guess I should say, in Dallas. Just no one really thinks about him right now. But they're a good team, and Kristaps can really raise that ceiling.
Got some good suggestions from the stream team. What about the other Bogdanovich? Bojan, get in on the Bogdanovich fun. Yeah, you can pair them together there. Very possible. F-Bomb says DeAndre Ayton coming out party this playoffs. Okay, he's had a great year. Tyrese Maxey, that's a deep pull there. From Philip Thompson.
It's penny stock, baby.
Yeah, for sure. Fred likes Tobias Harris. You know, like Middleton, has had a very, very, very solid season. Borderline all-star season there. He's not going to be making an all-NBA team, but he might be on my sixth or seventh all-NBA team. Find out tomorrow on the daily podcast. But yeah, lots of suggestions, and keep dropping them in the YouTube comments below.
You're going to drop 10 all-NBA teams tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm an absolute freaking sicko.
50 deep?
Yeah. Nice. I'm going 50 deep, and I got a snubs list that's running like already 12 or 13.
Wow. You're
Because I'm tired of everybody saying, what about this guy? What about this guy? Well, we're just going to do all the guys.
Well, why don't you do it differently then and just say you're all players who didn't actually make the team or the snubs list? Then it'd be like only like 10 guys, you know?
No, because then, Lee, I got to release my 10 All-NBA teams so then people can argue, how dare you have so-and-so on the All-NBA 7th team when you have my guy on the All-NBA 8th team? That's what we got to do this.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I promised you I was going to do this, and I backed it up. I spent like an hour or two on this earlier today. It was really crazy. I was comparing, like, Terry Rozier numbers to, like, you know, Fred Van Vliet, and, like, really crunching them, thinking it over on who was going to make, like, the last team on my All-NBA. I mean, it's wild.
I hope Rozier's 43 the other night puts him ahead of Hardaway Jr., at least on one of those All-NBA teams. I'll be disappointed.
Tim Hardaway Jr. might be a snub. I'll give you a little spoiler there.
Wow, Tim Hardaway Jr. not making it. That's, I don't know, man. You sure you don't want to show your face and say that on a podcast?
The best is, because I tried to stay true to the centers, right? So it's hilarious getting into like who's been the 10th best, 9th best center at this league. And then like, is Jakob Poeltl in the mix? You know, it's stuff like that. It's crazy. So we'll do that tomorrow. We'll do a little whole segment on it.
Jakob Poeltl in the mix. Tune in tomorrow.
it's going to get Jakob crazy. Poeltl.
You're getting nice aggravated like crazy tomorrow, man.
Yeah. Oh God, we're gonna smash like all-time podcast records tomorrow. That's what we're gonna do with this. Maybe. We might lead the show. Usually we talk about the games first, but we might bump that to the second block because this is gonna be so good. Go ahead, Zaritas.
Why don't you roll it out over 10 days? Just get 10 days in coverage.
Wow, I hadn't even thought about that.
In a classic clickbait format.
Tune in tomorrow to hear Skeet's All NBA 7th team who gets snubbed. No, that is a really good idea. I should have done that. Instead, we'll just fire through them. Okay, our next question here. On my birthday last year, I purchased a signed Derrick Rose Bulls jersey as he is my favorite player, and the Chicago Bulls are my favorite team. I decided that I will never sell this and will have it passed around the family along with a curse if any of them ever decided to try and sell it. Wow, he didn't curse his own family. My question is, what is one object, NBA related or not, that you would pass down to your family, to your next generation?
You Thanks went into that me. Question so smoothly, Skeets. I thought you were just telling a story.
No, I'm a pro.
Wow,
at this.
You bought a jersey, huh?
Yeah, that's true. Thanks for the amazing content. No, I didn't. I'm not sharing a story. This is from, I'm going to, you know, probably butcher your name here, but Mihai from Romania, Bucharest, Romania, if I'm saying any of that correctly. I think I am.
Sure. Mihai.
Yeah, Mihai.
Sure.
It's a great question.
That's a Michael, but it's a Mihai to you.
Trey. An object, NBA related or not, that you would pass down to the generations.
Well, I recently unearthed a super valuable treasure trove of random Brad Miller cards here that I think will be super valuable. Oh, sorry, that's Michael Jordan. Sorry, that's Bill Wennington. I'll pass all of these down to my children, these random cards. I even found a Brad Miller autographed rookie card. There's only like 4 of these that I've even seen because... nobody's keeping track of their Brad Miller rookies, so these are going to be big time. But my real answer is my collection of custom jewelry, which I have accumulated more so than I would have ever thought. It started back in high school, got the championship football necklace. We won our we won conference, the Interstate 8, our sophomore team. 7-1-1. Yeah, we tied on homecoming against Lyle. It was a bummer. Rainy day. 0-0 game. Bobby Hausler missed 2 field goals. Who kicks field goals in a high school game?
What?
Yeah,
0-0 in a high school game?
Zero. Oh, brutal game. Brutal game. Oh, just raining the whole night. Literally, I don't think we kicked a field goal the whole year. We tried to kick 2 that game. I had to give the people a win on homecoming. Wide right. Wide right. Oh. Kicking in high school. If you don't have a soccer team, you should not have a kicker on your football team because he's not going to be good. Guaranteed. Right. What's my other one? Oh, here's my other necklace. My other necklace is here.
Oh,
this
is
my Roman numeral 3. I got this one as an adult. It's more of a dangler than the other one. And of course, the only reason I'm bringing this up in the first place, I haven't got to say this for quite some time. Shout out to Jostens. Can't wait to pass down this super valuable class ring to my children. They're going to think it's actually worth something because it's got like a fake amethyst there in the middle of it. But yeah, I was wearing this around the house today. And right now, the only thing it's worth is that it's fun for the kids to be able to try and read it. Like Isla was just sounding out my name on the side of it. But Yeah. Class rings. Jostens. They only show up for championship rings and pictures and your class ring at school, but somehow they're still around after 40 years of just doing three things very well. So I can't wait to pass down this ring that has a lot of meme value to it. I think that's going to be big in the future.
Wow. Brad Miller cards and weird jewelry.
Weird jewelry.
Blessed kids there over the Kirby household.
That's right.
Lee, passing down the big green egg? What are you doing over there?
Dickie kept all my basketball posters and magazines in pristine condition. I mean, they're just sitting around, so no one really has to do much, but I am just going to pass those on to the boys and say just keep them. You don't have to read them. I don't expect you to, you know, catch up on basketball from 30 years ago or 50 years ago when by the time they're old enough, but it's like, just keep them in the family. I mean, basketball cards are worth a fortune. Like a Michael Jordan card sold for like $2 million the other day, so you know, maybe you can cash in on these one day when I'm gone. You can just say, hey, who wants a hoop magazine from the 1991 season? It's got a poster of David Robinson in there that's been taken out, but
it's worth $2 million.
Yeah, you never know. So there's a little bit of a, you know, people will pay anything for stuff these days, so maybe there's a little nest egg sitting there for the boys.
Hope so. Taz, you got anything you're passing down along with that casino money jar?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Passing that down. I can't wait to find a spot where I can just, you know, get bills for these coins. I don't want to Google it. I don't have the patience to Google it. But, you know, those change machines?
Oh, yeah.
Where are those things?
It's like, they're usually in grocery stores.
Yeah. Publix has one still.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Coinstar is one of the brands I know.
Oh, yeah, Coinstar.
Those are fun. You always drop your jar in, and then you, like, it spits out the weirdest shit that you had in that jar. You're like, oh,
cool.
I didn't know that was in there. I didn't know there was a human tooth in there. Okay, that's interesting. You know, it's weird things that pop out and weird coins on top of that. But yeah, go to your Publix. You know, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. The thing that I will pass down for sure is the Raptors program I bought at a silent auction that I thought had Vince Carter's autograph on the front, but it wasn't Vince Carter's autograph. I was hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived by that silent auction. It was what I thought was then Alvin Williams and then John Wallace. It was a whole thing. But yeah, it ended up being John Wallace's autograph, as we've talked about on this show, and it won't be worth anything. Unfortunately, you know, maybe Johnny Wallace will get you some coins. I mean, I was a John Wallace fan, but you know, it doesn't have a certificate of authenticity.
Highly important.
I did ask at the silent auction, do I get a certificate of authenticity for this? And they just said no. And I said, okay, I'm young, well, yeah, I'm naive, I'm sure, no problem.
Yeah,
I was $125 for a Vince Carter autograph. What I thought was Vince Carter autograph in his heyday.
It's
worth
a certificate.
It.
Yeah, no, well, I think it's in the back. We'll find it later.
Yeah, what's up with that?
How much do you think that would go for if it was Vince Carter?
That's a good question.
All right. I mean, $100? Would it? Is that,
more.
That's probably too much. More?
Yeah.
Well, not, that's without Vince. The certificate? You got to get that certificate.
Oh, well, that's a... Yeah, yeah, if okay. It doesn't have a certificate. If it has
it... It would be worth more than you paid for it now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I mean, legendary player, don't get me wrong. Yeah.
Maximilian would buy it, probably. He's Vince Carter's biggest fan.
What a pull. What if a you pull. Got that reference, good on you. Wow. That's impressive, Lily. All right, let's get to it. Or JD, do you have anything you're looking forward to passing down to the boys?
Yeah, no, only to torture them. Like, for example, I have this. This is from the starter set. It's the King Cake Baby.
Yeah.
Right?
Freaky.
So it sits on my desk just to troll Jackson.
Yep.
Right, and every time I walk by my desk, it's actually he turns it around, so it's actually it's always like this. So I think it would be hilarious in my will if this was literally the only thing I will to him, with my final request being that he must never throw it away.
Okay,
awesome. It even looks freakier on the stream with the lighting.
I know, it's pretty bright. It's hard
it's
to see.
Super bright.
So creepy.
And it's also with your voice. I mean, you don't sound well either. You're talking about your will. Don't like it.
Yeah. Scary stuff. Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks. Next one. Hello, No Ducks. I was literally trembling with excitement as I listened to my favorite basketball people talking about my life's other obsession, birds. My bird-watching buddy Tom introduced me to the starters back in 2015, and your pod has been a constant presence on all of our bird-roading trips, or birding road trips, I guess is what I meant to say. We've always joked about starting our own basketball and birds podcast called The Hoopoe, a bird which we're showing to you on YouTube. Mm. A very unique-looking bird.
That's unique.
And now I can add Matt Ufford. Is it Ufford or Ufford?
Ufford.
Offered.
I actually don't know.
To our list of hypothetical future guests. Basketball is pretty huge in the birding world, and I'm stoked to find out it's at least a little bit mutual. What's a crossover event in your life that you always dreamed of and finally got to witness? Bluebird it here first. Have a crane time. Turn up, T-E-R-N, up. Dove you guys. Hawksome. That's from Andrew in Montana. That's good.
God.
That's really good.
That's good. Birds. That's unfortunately good.
Yeah. Unfortunately, birds aren't real.
Lee crossover event.
Yeah, well, JD's probably been a part of what 3,000 podcasts with since the inception here. Is that right, JD? Around.
Yeah. You know, however many we've done, that's pretty much.
And I would say I've seen you enjoy two of them, and they were both in the last 12 months. One was with Wendell Holland from Survivor. The JD in that photo there, my God, he's smiling. I haven't seen him smile like that since his wedding photo there with Rachel.
Brings this up all the time.
JD was just there in his element there. And then when he had Peter Sawkins on, the British baker, also in the... Yeah. Was that in quarantine? I'm not sure, or in the shutdown, or if that was just a bonus.
Peter? Oh yeah. Peter was Zoom. Yeah.
Yeah, and man, JD's voice in that—he's like a little kid meeting his idol and his hero there, and it was just great. So, what I would like to see next, and I know Skeets and Trey would like to get in on this as well, but for the first half an hour, I just want JD and Jeff Probst together. Just that's all I want.
JD.
Yeah,
that's great.
Just hanging out. I know Skeets and Trey be in the background, you know, ready to jump in, but give them half an hour just to talk first and see how that'd go. I think that'd be maybe our most downloaded episode if that happens, because people would just be like, wow, this is awesome.
It would be a terrible interview because I would just be lost in his eyes the whole time. Just like...
If you want to do a two-hour interview with Jeff Probst, you better have a log laying down on the ground so he can sidle up next to you and sit down. Have a seat. Let's talk here. Let it rip, Jeff.
Okay. That would be awesome. Let's do it.
Sure. Jeff, if you're listening, Jeff, whenever you're free, we can try to work something out. So,
what do you mean? You can do better than if you're listening. You jump on these Instagrams. You're always DMing all these former NBA players. Put some work in, Lee. Make his dream come true. Go get Jeff Probst.
Let me see if he's on Instagram. He might not be. He might not be, but I'll have a
see.
This
guy's traveling around the world surviving. You don't think he's going to be on Instagram? He's got 493,800 followers on Twitter.
Okay.
Joined April 2009.
How many followers do you think he has on Instagram here?
Who cares? 450,000.
No.
Less.
1.5 million.
No, way.
150,000.
You're closer. Yeah.
Okay.
100K, I said.
No, 200,000 he's got. Not many, if you ask me.
That's not as much.
Not many.
You slide in those DMs with a blue check? Pretty good odds he's going to check it lately.
Okay, well, I might see if I can slip in there and see what I can do. So, yeah.
Sweet.
When's your birthday, JD? You're about July or something, aren't you?
Close, November.
Okay, yeah. All right, well, I've got plenty of time then anyway.
Awesome.
Jeffy.
He's probably on location right now. Are they still filming or are they rap filming? I don't know.
I would say they're still filming if they're doing back-to-back. They must be, right?
Yeah, so give it a monthly and then contact him when he comes stateside.
You never know. That's right. Sometimes you just throw out a DM and you just never know. So I'll see what I can do for you, JD.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Great.
crossover event in your life that you always dreamed of. Skeets, what do you got?
I don't really have anything that comes to... I mean, I love where Lee's mind's going. I love the NBA... meets Survivor in some weird way. Like, hell, if we had a Survivor season where it was just all NBA players or former NBA players, like, oh my God, sign me up for that. The two loves in my life, you know, coming together, that'd be chef's kiss. So, not to sort of steal Lee's answer there, but I was thinking NBA Survivor. That's what I had written down. That's my crossover that I'd love to see.
Yeah, it was awesome when they had Cliff Robinson on, obviously, and then I think it must have been the second episode. They basically had a basketball challenge. They're like, go out there and win it, man. And he did. No surprise. So, that was awesome. An easy answer for sure. I was thinking along the same lines. But one I had forgotten about until Lee mentioned basketball, I guess, until we just started talking about basketball.
Basketball on this show? What?
Yeah, I know. It actually rarely comes up on this episode. But 2012 Olympics, Vin Diesel showed up at the gold medal game for Team USA because Fast and Furious was filming in London at the time. They cut to him in the crowd, just hit a huge thumbs up. Cool. Supporting basketball. I don't know. That stuck with me for almost 10 years at this point. So shout out to Vin Diesel showing up at the 2012 Olympics.
Wow.
Those were the days where you could go to events.
That's right.
Oh, God, that'd be great. Mine is one that's already happened. Rachel Maddow was on Desus and Meryl. Two loves. Ooh. Yeah, they had a great interview. The whole rainbow back in those days. That was a good time. Good time for all, especially me.
JD, do you have an answer to this?
Yeah, well, the Amazing Spider-Man showed up in Captain America: Civil War. That was huge, and it wasn't spoiled for me. I was just like, when you saw Queens, New York, come up in the location key or whatever, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is it, Spider-Man, finally in the MCU. So. That was great, and I'm looking forward to Deadpool entering the MCU as well. That's going to be awesome, and the X-Men, and it's going to be great. The next 10 years in Marvel is going to be amazing. I can't wait.
Yeah, get your hero points up.
What about Marvel characters playing Survivor?
Ooh, that'd be great.
That'd be fun. Yeah, all right. We'll talk to Jeff about that idea when we have him on the podcast.
Jeff.
All right, next one. Howdy, No Dunks crew. Long time, first time here. I've been loving the big beef segments that you've been running this year. But there's one part that I struggle with every time I hear it. At the end of each segment, the tagline is, No Dunks, we love roast beef, which is rebounds. Hearing is rebounds throws me off because the word rebounds is typically treated as plural. On the other hand, roast beef is singular, and it's the item you are describing in this sentence, so using is seems to be correct. A quick search sent me down a dark rabbit hole of grammar opinions, and ultimately I've concluded that the phrase you have gone with is correct. Perhaps on-air check with Grammarly is warranted. In any case, what's something in the world that you absolutely know is correct, but you just can't help but feel is wrong? Luna Pup, Ken's French Fries, Wassa. That is from my buddy Dub in Vernon, British Columbia. I actually was laughing when I was getting ready for this show because I didn't know this was in here to us. And I was like, this is a weird question. Oh, it's from Dubs. I knew it was like something was up when it said Wassa, which is like when we were in high school. It's like Western Ontario Secondary School Association. I was like, who the hell knows Wassa? Oh, yeah. It's the guy that went to school with me back in Stratford. Anyway. So what's something in the world that you absolutely know is correct, but you just can't help but feel is wrong?
First, I got to go back to the grammar. I just can't get enough grammar talk.
Okay.
It is happening in today's age, like singular versus plural. They're interchangeable, aren't they?
Sure.
I think things are changing, or should I say, I think things is changing. No, but Dub is totally right. Like if you conjugate the verb, especially the past verb of like, we were going somewhere, can now be interchanged with we was going somewhere. Those two words can be swapped. Can they not? Language is fluid. I know. Is that proper or not?
Yeah, maybe it is, but I don't like it.
I know. It's what you learn, right? Even you and I can be substituted for you and me under certain conditions. I never knew that, but apparently that's entirely true.
Is that Jeff Probst?
Yeah.
that's my ring notification, but it usually doesn't make that sound. It usually is... it's Uncle Fred, actually. He's the most mailman. No, he's not. Who's that?
Oh, my God. Are you serious right now?
There's someone there. Look. Can you see?
Yeah, there's somebody
Holy
at your door.
Shit. There's somebody at your door, man. We better stop this podcast. It could be anybody.
It's Jim Beam.
Yeah. I had Jim Beam deliver three bottles to my door 5 minutes before this podcast, and it took me about 2 full minutes to answer the door. I just didn't know if I was going there.
Here. Let me shake them.
Well, you know, you addressed it, Skeet, so what are we going to do? You know? Anyways, are you going to get the door or not?
You want me to get it? All right, I'll get it.
Well, somebody's got to get the door, I guess.
You're just standing there.
All right, hang on.
Okay, he took himself off camera here. So Lee's going to get the door. Uncle Fred is at the door, as they call him, his mailman. I thought it was literally a family member, but it's just the mailman. All right. Anyways, I'm done.
This is right up there with the bank robbery podcast, if I'm being completely honest. This one is pure insanity right now, from the jump.
No
JD's voice,
no
the whole coin thing. Nellie's
the end of the season, Skeets. It's the end of the season. We're all just hanging on.
10 minutes. I know. You're right. We're hanging on by a thread, man.
That's the way it goes. Anyways, I'm done with my grammar talk, but things are changing. You and I has become you and me, Dubs. We was, we were. It's fluid. And I think you just got to roll with it. You just got to change. Anyways, I'm done. I'm done talking Grammarly.
Okay.
Anybody have an answer to this question? What's something in the world that you absolutely know is correct, but you just can't help feel is wrong? I thought when he wrote Wassa, it was Woosaw that he meant. But anyway, anybody got an answer to this? Skeets?
No, I don't. Skip.
Nobody wanted this question in the document.
Skip.
Nobody wanted this.
Skip. Let's see if this guy at Lee's door has a good answer to this question. Bring
I'll just I'll think about it for a couple hours, and then I'll just text my buddy Dub later my answer.
Yeah, Dubs did send a follow-up text message and say, listen, if my email's not good enough, don't include it because I'm a good friend of you guys. But I'm just surprised. That's a fairly good one. I was considering holding on to it for a future sponsors-only mailbag edition that we've done before, because he mentioned Grammarly. And if you mention any one of our sponsors, you might get in that show. So stick it in there if you want to get...
Well, he also mentions Ken's French Fries, that it was a famous...
Say it, man.
It's an institution.
I can't think of the word right now. What do you call the trucks that have food in the food truck?
A food truck.
A food truck?
What are you calling?
We've done too many podcasts. I just might leave, honestly. It was this whole all this work on the all NBA teams that really got me disconnected.
Just pretend your doorbell. Just
Uncle
pretend your
Fred?
Doorbell goes up.
Is that
you? There it is. Jim Beam is here.
Hey!
Oh boy.
Okay, for those listening, Lee is pulling bottles of Jim Beam out of a bag that I believe was just delivered to him by Uncle Fred at the door.
Wow, no, it wasn't Uncle Fred. I was a special delivery person, but. Yeah, there we go. There we go. Also,
interesting. How many bottles did you get?
Two.
Oh, why did Task get three? Fascinating. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get a flask that Lee's holding up.
Well, no, this is the one. Go ahead.
I don't remember who sent it to us, but someone sent it to us when we were at NBA TV for wedgie number 50.
I was talking about it on this morning's show.
Yeah. So I've got that for tomorrow night.
Those were part of those that company that created the huge container, the food container, so that like for. For stadiums, remember
you had like a cup that attaches to a popcorn bucket or something.
Yeah,
we had like so many cups up in the starters.
And they
office.
Sent us flasks for some.
Are you
obvious.
Sure they did?
I think so. I think so.
No, I wish I had one.
Yeah, it was great.
Anyways, we're such sellouts. We're already putting out the Jim Beam. Are we even sponsored by them, or did we just get bottles?
Does anybody know why we got sent a bunch of Jim Beam?
Don't know yet.
Okay.
To TBD to be announced or whatever. Like, who knows? I don't even know if they've paid us yet.
Well,
I'll get Nick Freeman on the line.
They got their money's worth.
Man, the irony, man. The amount of money I've spent on Jim Beam in my life, and now it's just being brought to my house. Isn't that just poetic? You know.
Did the delivery person ask for your license?
Yeah. Well,
for
I
your
did,
birthday.
Yeah.
Birthday.
Yeah, well, I had to share my driver's license, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Didn't like that.
Good thing you stopped podcasting to make sure that happened. I mean, we are just like, we can't get anything right today. TBD to be announced.
Yeah.
I mean,
but maybe this is the best ad ever, as people are saying in the stream. Is this all
this
one big ad?
This would be next level, yeah. Anyway, I was talking about Ken's French Fries, iconic food truck in Stratford. A great French fries. Yeah, absolutely. Still around. And it's an interesting French fry because it's a soggy French fry. Yeah, which I'm with you, Trey. I'm looking at your reaction. What? But it's they're a lot of vinegar. Some people go malt. For whatever reason, it just works. Okay, whatever.
You know who's eating those French fries?
Who?
Our good friend Julie, I'm sure.
Yeah,
who's on this cup that I'm showing to you?
100%.
Yeah, holding a shoe.
Many Ken's French fries. They used to park it down by the city hall.
She's
up there, cheap.
Right. So on YouTube, if you're with us, she's holding a shoe, aggressively going at somebody with a shoe. So I could see her at Ken's. Yelling that my fries aren't soggy enough. Give me soggier fries.
Yeah, these
more
are the
vinegar.
Type of fries you eat with a fork. They give you that. I give you that cute little spoon fork. Remember those?
A spork.
Yeah, spork.
It wasn't really a spork. No, I will not. I will not accept spork. There was nothing spoon-like about it. It was a fork. It was a little wooden fork.
With a little wooden spoon.
What? No, you cannot spoon anything with this. Maybe ice cream.
You said it was a spoon fork.
I didn't know.
Yeah, you said that little like spoon fork.
What?
I said a spork.
How dare
said,
you?
No, oh, there's no spoon.
Rewind the tape. I didn't say that.
What, did this place start in 2011?
No, this has been forever.
Since 2011.
I actually went to a school with the girl that ended up buying it because I think it was going to close down. But she kept it alive and then repainted the truck and everything. I follow it on Instagram.
Oh, name dropper.
Drop the link, bud. We'll get those followers up like nothing.
All right.
People want to see this spork that is not a spoon.
Oh, maybe people are saying I 100% said spoon fork. That's
all right,
really weird.
All right.
Anyway.
Should we move on or anybody?
I honestly could not care less at this point.
the questions get better from here, though.
They do?
I think.
You think that we're going to be a second half podcast here? This one's going to turn around?
Yeah, we're getting second wind. Here we go. Hello, no leggies. Actually,
ding dong.
Gotta go. Someone's at my door.
Someone's at my garage. If your garage door just opens up, that'd be amazing.
Honestly, I took forever to answer that Jim Beam delivery. It's just, I don't... What do people want at a door these days?
Well, your license, I guess.
The only reason was it was because it was alcohol. Otherwise, a delivery person just drops stuff these days, right?
Yeah.
Like, what else? You're either selling me something... Or you're delivering alcohol to my door. Multiple bottles of alcohol to my door. That was weird.
Anyways, actually a little worried because I don't know if you heard Luna barking at some point during this podcast to make it even worse of an audio experience for all of you out there. But I'm like 99% sure now, Lee, that that's what was going on out there. And she was barking at the delivery man or woman that was coming with Jim Beam. And now I'm just curious, did Nora ever answer the door to then, I guess, show her passport to get this booze? Or my Jim Beam might be gone.
Do you want me to send her a message on WhatsApp to see if she got it?
No, Lee, can you fucking focus, Lee, on the podcast we're trying to make?
Nah, not today. It's a rainy day. We haven't been outside all day. Oh, everyone's going to be
Lee,
crazy.
Save this podcast. Do me a favor. Crack that bottle of Jim Beam and just chug half of it. All right.
No, I've got it. I'm driving.
Save it.
I'm driving.
Where are you going?
This, I'm just driving, man. We haven't been out of the house all day.
You shouldn't be driving. You should be saving your gas. There's a gas shortage in Atlanta right now.
Electric car, my man. Electric car. The Big E. The Big E's on Easy Street. All of a sudden, everyone in the neighborhood's like, oh, Big E, can you take us somewhere? We can't take our car out. Yeah, well. Maybe you should have thought about that when you were buying your latest car. Oh, yeah. You want the fancy one, don't you? Just get the smart one.
So hold on. You're actually just going to go for a drive to rub it in everybody's faces because there is a truly a gas shortage in Atlanta.
Window down. God. I'm going to be like the queen, you know, when she goes around in the carriage. Just wait. Yeah. Don't see the gas station over there? Yeah. I haven't been to the gas station for years, my man. Years.
I wouldn't know a Texaco if it punched me in the face.
Oh, man. I aborted the old service station, the gas station, years ago. Haven't been back.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I can only drive around the block three times before I have to recharge the car, but it takes 4 days to do that. But for those three trips around, man, I am on Easy Street. Can't put the air conditioning on either. That takes too much of the battery. But,
Can't play SiriusXM.
Ah, yeah, you can't do anything.
Five U2 songs.
I'm like Fred Flintstone, you know. You have to use your feet to get around. But
Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, all right, let's do this test.
Yeah, we got a good basketball question coming. Don't worry, it'll pick up. It's a really good one. This was in the one hole for a long time, but I thought, you know, let's go non-basketball to start. Well, it's perfect placement because we need some basketball to bring us back home. Reel us in here, Muhammad Hassan, with this email. Hello, no leggies. You guys talked about how Russ normalized the triple double and how individual scoring averages are higher nowadays. So my question is, what individual or team stat / achievement will be normalized next, considering the way the league is trending? Turn up, keep the classics coming. Awesome. That is from Muhammad Hassan. So Skeets, what's going to be normalized?
Well, it's something we talked about last week when we had the Athletic's NBA analytics guru, Seth Partnow, on. We were talking about how there's so many guys that score over 20 points per game in this season. I believe there's still over 31 guys averaging over 20 points per game, which really did meant something to a lot of people, like even casual fans out there. So that's got to change. It's become too normalized for guys to score a 20 per. So I think we got to go to 25. I'd like to go that high. I know we were debating, what are we going to make it, 23, 24? I think we just go 25. There's still 16 guys in the league averaging over 25 points per game, and then a couple like right behind that threshold. So I think it's that one. To, again, go back to what Seth was talking about, one of his crazy stats from the season, because that's a lot of guys. And, you know, You could argue there's another probably 10, 15, 20 guys that could likely do it given the opportunity, I think. If there was like another 20 teams, we had some crazy expansion and you had like a star player on all these other teams, we'd probably get another 15, 20 of them. But we got to go to 25 points per game to like be considered, you know, I guess one of the elite scorers in the game. Is how I'm looking
there
at it.
Because, there you go.
I'm just saying, and I'm not trying Hunter to knock these guys that are scoring 21, 22. Like, that's really impressive. You'll hear some of these names on my All-NBA 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th teams tomorrow. But, yeah, I mean, at a certain point, we got to make that cutoff a little higher. So that's my answer.
There it is. The podcast is right back
there
on track.
There we go. Saved it.
25 is a perfect number, I think.
Okay.
Trey, do you have a something that's going to be normalized in the next few years?
Yeah, I think Seth said 23, yeah. Right, was the number that kind of relates to it. But those shelf numbers, that's nice. 25, I'm 100% with you, Skeets. I think another thing that's going to be normalized very soon is a 10-plus three-point game. There have been 67 of these in NBA history. Only 10 of them came before 2010. Obviously, Steph Curry is the man in this category. He's done it 22 times, but four others have done it more than once. Prior to 2010, only J.R. Smith had two games with 10 or more three-pointers. Basically, players are better at shooting now. Everybody is encouraged to shoot more threes. Steph Curry has made 10 three-pointers in a game commonplace just for him. But there are more Steph Curry-like characters coming up. It's going to be common for people pretty soon. And, you know, like, the leader in three-point attempts per game right now is, like, 12-ish. Why aren't players shooting 23s a game, mm-hmm. You know? That is going to happen at some point in the next 10
years.
Yeah,
Steph finally did it, didn't he? Take 20
three-pointers. Yeah,
it was, yep. That just happened not too long ago. That's a good one. What do you got, Lily?
Well, I'm thinking something to do with triple-doubles now that Russell Westbrook has broken it. I mean, like, it's so much easier to get. So it sort of has lost a bit of its luster anyway. I mean, Stephen Adams got one this season. So I wonder if at what point it sort of just becomes more like a double-double when a guy gets a triple-double, you know? I mean, are we maybe already there in some ways as well, you know, because it Terry Rozier has one. Did you know that? Did not know that. Jeremy Lin got one, you know? It's like, I think back in the day it would have been like I think Allen Iverson, if I remember correctly, only had one for his entire career. You know, for a guy who had that much of the ball in his hand, you would think he would have gotten a few more. Maybe he would in today's game. But I think that's a thing. Like, once Stephen Adams broke through with a triple-double, I'm like, okay.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Just to get one is not... It happens.
You know. Yeah, but Stephen Adams, I mean...
Well, how's Allen Iverson going to get there? What's he going to get, 10 steals? I mean, 10
No,
boards,
he got it with rebounds and assists. Yeah. But just, you know, he's on the court for like 42 minutes. And, you know, I mean, you know, he's a point guard. He had the ball in his hands all the time. So of the course. Points and assists was easy. It was just,
Allen Iverson would, I will go on record as saying he would have more triple-doubles if he played in today's game. I mean, he was also playing on the Sixers when their scores were like, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
85 to 83, and that's probably being generous. But
yeah,
I hear you.
Yeah. Basketball Reference now tracks triple-doubles on guys' pages, which is, I don't know when that came on there, but for the basketball geeks, that's hot stuff right there, just to see a quick triple-double reference there on someone's page. Stephen Adams, one. Anyway, for me, I'm going away from stats, but I think the anti-analytics perspective will be removed from people's way of talking about basketball. What I mean is people won't say anymore, oh, they're taking three-point shots. Well, today's game, everybody taking three-point shots. I think we'll just sort of, that'll be normalized. That'll just be information. Three is better than two. We get it. And that sort of, that anti-analytics perspective, I think will be gone from people's vocabulary. Because you just hear it so often, especially from the old heads, that they just, you know, despise that guys are taking more threes. I think it'll just become commonplace. And then we understand that it's not just that teams or players take threes. It's that if they can't have anybody who's good enough to take twos, then they take threes. But if you're good enough and you can make some mid-range shots, then there's still tons of guys who do that. I was just talking about Kristaps Porzingis. The guy is shooting at a rate in two-point range that behooves them to do that rather than just take threes. So I think we'll just sort of forget about this hate coming from the old heads about teams just shooting threes. It doesn't just happen like that. There are a lot of guys who shoot twos these days.
All right, enough basketball talk.
Enough basketball talk.
I got a Jim Beam update. Nora, very confused, in a WhatsApp chat asking people, who sent this whiskey to our house? The DoorDash guy wouldn't tell me who sent it.
Yeah, the DoorDash guy doesn't know.
Yeah, I know. So don't worry, I've replied. No, that's mine. Don't worry about it. So great stuff. I got my Jim Beam. It's going to be a very happy, happy hour tomorrow night here on the No Dunks Happy Hour Charity Drive, actually.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, two more questions, and let's get out of here. Hey, No Dunks, I was elated to have snagged a special edition Wedgie No Dunks t-shirt. Overjoyed. The first exclamation that came to mind was, LARF, yeah! At first, I was confused by what I had done, but I quickly became enamored with the idea of using LARF as a replacement for everyday swear words. LARF it. LARF you. What in the ever-loving LARF? What are some words or phrases you can use incorrectly or even just something you know you do incorrectly but just don't give a larf? Larf up. Larf, you guys. Larf some. That's from Reagan in Houston, Texas, a sad larfing Rockets fan. Larf is super fun to say. That's a great call. Tass does an unbelievable job of usually just somehow bleeping yourself. You're just good at, like, dropping the F word or stuff like that. You just do your, you have a talent for it. But
Thank
maybe
you.
Start adding a... LARF instead. It is fun. I like LARF it or LARF this. But anyway, who wants to go first? Let's go to Lily, who's been killing it this podcast.
Yeah.
What's your answer, mate?
Well, I've gone with the low-hanging fruit because, you know, my son's back in school, so I've bumped into some of the other mums and dads at drop-off. We were talking NBA playoffs the other day and got the old... So who are you rooting for in the playoffs? And I, every time I get asked something about who I'm rooting, I just can't stop smirking. I had the mask on and everything, but I was like, yeah, you know, I'm just rooting. I'm rooting for everyone. I just love rooting. I just, you know.
Oh my God. He LARFs it so much.
I just can't ever not just smirk and smile and just think to myself, oh my God.
I swear to God, I don't know why it feels like just this one, but I feel like Lee's had 8 answers for the entirety of this podcast run. Like the same 8 answers just over and over. Look, I know I'm guilty too, for sure, sharing the same story, but man, you're just sharing the Lee Ellis classics on this.
Play the hits, man.
I'm just going into the old Jim Beam bag and pulling out a few classics.
All right.
Oh, man.
Rooting, yeah. You know what I hate about that? You've got me always catching myself before I'm about to say I'm rooting for this team. I'm like, oh, I better not say that or Lee will just start laughing, giggling over there. I hate that you've done that to me. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with
it. I'm glad that I've brought you onto the team. So, yeah, whenever we do go to Australia for that tour, man, there'll be lots of rooting out there. Don't worry about that.
All right. Hope our wives are coming. Okay. Tass, you got an answer for this?
Yeah, well, I got to go the kids route. You know, kids can't pronounce things. And my children said abibs for a long time instead of saying olives. So now around here we say abibs with a B instead of an L. My eldest daughter still thinks a remote is called famote. So we pass the famote around. It's a pretty fun word to say. It's not as quite as funny as larfing. But a good famote is pretty fun to say. So yeah, black and green abibs and a famote. That's all I got.
Trey, you got anything similar to that with the kids? 2011-teen?
Probably. Yeah, I mean, I wrote 2011-teen. You threw me off asking about my kids. I had to dip out of the podcast a little bit earlier because they accidentally locked themselves out of the house.
Classic.
So, you know, whatever. Just take a little break here.
Yeah, they locked themselves out half an
hour. Why not?
Yeah.
It's not like we're doing anything, right? Yeah. Just tap out. Bag of beans for me, obviously, is usually a bad thing, but it could be a good thing as well. And, of course, it's my Wi-Fi networks from here on out. But, yeah, 2011-teen, I think, is going to stick for me anytime I reference that year. That's the
JD, you got anything?
Yeah, my wife and my youngest son. Yeah, my wife and my youngest son, Jackson. This is a really weird one. That, you know, the song Rich Girl by Hall & Oates? You're a rich girl, and it's gone too far, and you know, don't matter anymore. For some reason, they have added this lyric, and it's, you're a rich girl, and it's gone too far, and you know, it won't happen anymore. You bitch! They'll just belt out you bitch right in the middle, and I'm like, that's not even in the song, is it? Like, it's just,
no,
it's not a thing. It's not part of it. And they're like, yeah, we don't care. So they just, now whenever I sing that song, I can't help myself.
Oh man. No, I'm brutal with lyrics. Ah, man, I wish I could remember. I was listening to a song on the radio the other day, and I was like, oh, that's what they say. Oh, I've been singing that song wrong for a good 25 years now. It's like, I don't know, for whatever reason, like, you're alone in the car and it's like crystal clear came through. I'm like, oh, that's the lyric. I wish I could remember the song.
Oh,
yeah, I do. But I am horrible with lyrics. Okay, but they're just making up their own over there.
Yeah, there's a whole new melody. It's like a new backup. They should add it to the song.
Okay.
Yeah, it reminds me of like Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline. Everybody's singing the ba-ba-ba's, which aren't really there. You just throw in a, you bitch! Because, I mean, Rich Girl is one of the rare, like, mainstream, very famous and longtime popular songs that just casually uses the word bitch in it, I would say, you know? So... yeah, just beefing it up a little bit, I guess. Yeah.
But in the song, they're not referring to the rich girl as a bitch, though. They're just saying it's a bitch. But
yeah, the concept.
But Jackson and Rachel are just going for the jugular on that rich girl, man. Like, just so anyway.
Okay. Sorry. Hold on. My Adobe Flash player has now just popped up. Wants me to uninstall it. Great timing. It knows. Adobe knows that this podcast is like, I mean, you might as well just delete this
Wrap
one.
It
okay,
up.
Remind me later. Thank you. Oh my God. I clicked remind me later and then it still opened up a page. Adobe? All right. Stas, take us home. One more.
Here we go. We've got the Jim Beam on the finish line here. We're going to get there. Last one. Hey, No Ducks, I have a funny story and a question for you. I was at a red light a few weeks ago and was listening to Tass on What You Need to Know. My dash cam was running and recorded a pretty serious car crash in the intersection in front of me. The dash cam was also recording the audio inside my truck, which happened to be Tass comparing members of the Utah Jazz to members of NSYNC. I stayed as a witness and the policeman asked me if he could have the video from my dash cam. He wasn't forcing me, but I was willing to help, so I gave him the SD card. He emailed me later to thank me and said the investigating officers had a good laugh at Tass's comparisons in the video. They're also keeping the video to use in court, so I keep laughing at the idea of the courtroom having to listen to this beauty. So, my question. Any good court stories? Thanks for being such an enjoyable part of my daily life. Turned up. Loving you guys. Awesome. That's from Todd. Long time. On Vancouver Island. Let's keep it on the road, Todd. I got a car story. I'm going back to high school. Just got my permit, so not a full license in Canada. Had my family's Cadillac sedan DeVille. Feeling good at high school. That beauty of a ride. Bench in the front and bench in the back.
I was going to say, that's a big car, isn't it?
That's a monster. Yeah. That's a monster. I did some damage to that thing. Always flooring it. Always using as much gas as possible, Lee, because it wouldn't pick up that boat. Anyway, the bench in the front and bench in the back is important. There's three belts in the front, three belts in the back. And we had six people going up for the ride, everybody going in the guy who's got the car. So everybody jumping in.
Of course.
But I didn't want the one guy who was going to sit beside me to sit beside me. No, thank you. So I said, you could sit beside me in the front, Doug, but hit the back. No, thank you.
Put four in the back.
Four in the back. It's not a good thing when you've got your permit. Anyway, so I pulled out of the high school parking lot, floored it, went right through the stop sign.
Oh, God.
And cop, whoo, pulled me over immediately, gave me 3 tickets, one for having too many people, more people than seatbelts in the back seat, which I would have lost my license for. We're going to court in a second. Blew through the stop sign, didn't have my registration of my car either. So anyways,
Holy crap. Wow. The trifecta.
Yeah, essentially went to a corner store and got this corner store lawyer who represented me in court for a few $100 and was funny because he got up in front of the court and said, there were not 3 seatbelts in the front. He couldn't have had... Oh, no, no. What he said was there were 4 seatbelts in the back seat. So he had enough seatbelts to buckle everybody in the back seat, which was totally untrue. And so... And,
I've never seen 4.
Yeah, 4 seatbelts. In the back. Yeah. So then I actually had to testify, and I was asked whether or not there were 4 seatbelts in the back seat. And I was in a court of law. There was no way God. I was fibbing. I said... No, that's not the case. There's only 3 seatbelts in the back seat. Anyways, that ticket did get thrown out, that ticket, which was the most important one, because I would have lost my license because it was a permit status. Anyway, still got the stop sign, still got the other little registration. But yeah, just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. That's the moral of the story. And let Doug ride in the front seat with you, I guess. Then I would only get 2 tickets, I guess.
So oddly, the corner store lawyer's tactic sort of worked in a weird way.
Yeah.
he lied, and you had to testify, and you were like, well, I'm going to be honest here. Yeah, no, Your Honor, there was only 3 in the back, and we had 4 back there. And that got thrown out.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I mean, you guys, if you guys ever went to court for a traffic ticket, usually, at least where we're from, if you show up in court, you get something knocked off at the very least. And I was a young kid, you know, dull. I didn't bring in Doug with me, but I had a picture of all my friends, and, you know, I played the song.
Your Honor, I would like to call to the stand my friend Doug. Would you like to sit beside this man for an uncomfortable amount of time while we drive to this location? No, Your Honor, you would want to put him in the back seat.
Doug's a good guy, but the spelling of his name is D-A-G with an umlaut on the A. He's some Scandinavian country, wow. From Denmark or something. He's a Dag, but we all call him Doug. So I'm not 100% sure if it's a Dag or a Doug, but he's a good guy, really good guy.
Good
but
guy.
I
would, just a
good
liar.
Guy. Don't ever ask him how to say his name.
Mr. Umlaut. Anyway, any good court stories out there?
No, the only time I've ever been to court is the time I got married, as I've told that story before.
Yeah.
The Honorable Pinky T. Toomer marrying Nora and I here in an Atlanta courtroom with 30 of our other favorite couples that I knew about as well as Tass knew Doug.
Do y'all keep in touch with the other couples? Big group chat? That's who Nora was getting in touch with?
Hey, who sent
this? Yeah, it's us.
It's not our wedding anniversary.
Wrong anniversary.
But no, so I don't really have any other good court stories besides that. Lee, you got something?
Well, one night after drinking too much Jim Beam outside in a nightclub, I think I was asked to leave the nightclub. And when I was outside, just before we jumped into a friend who wasn't drinking his car, just parked out the front, I needed to urinate. And so I did, just in the middle of the road. You know, it was like midnight on a Saturday night out the front of the biggest nightclub in this town. And as I'm there... These 2 police come up to me and say, that's disgusting. That's grotesque what you're doing here. We're not going to let you get away with that. And I thought they were going to haul me off for the 4 hours in the cell. But instead, they issued me a summons to appear in court. And now, you can pretty much say, just give me the fine then after they issue the summons and they send you the fine and you have to pay it. And I know some other people who have done it for that and they've been fined $20. Oh. And so I was like, you know what? I want to go to court for this because I know nothing serious is going to happen. And I thought for $20, I can do it. So I had a suit and I went up to this same town the night before because it was like an hour drive away from Sunbury. And I was there with Big Bears and we went out the night before the court appearance and got boozed up. And so I was we were kind of running late for the court appearance the next morning. And at this point as well, because I hadn't opted for the fine, you have to show up to court. You know, I mean, they could issue an arrest warrant, but they're not going to. But the point is that was what I opted into. So I turned up to court thinking like, all right, for $20, this is fine. And the magistrate just unloaded on me. He's like, that was disgusting what you're doing. You idiots come up here and you drink and then you treat this town like this. And he just unloaded on me, hit me with a $350 fine. and he's like, I hope I don't see you up here in this courthouse again. I'll be a lot more strict on you next time or something like that. I was like, holy shit. I should have just paid the, like, you know, hope it was $20 or $50 or whatever on the spot. But yeah, so $350 for... having a little pee-pee in the street there at night one night.
A grotesque pee-pee, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because you were mounting some trash can backwards. You're like, what the hell is this guy doing? Where the hell is this guy from?
That was 1996, right? And if you don't have another infringement in 10 years, your record's supposed to be wiped clean, right?
Right.
When I got married to Roxana in 2007, I had to get a police clearance.
Yeah.
And it said, you know, 1996, behaved offensively in a public place. And I'm like, that's over 10 years, though. That falls outside the window. But it didn't affect anything of my status. But I was like, I can't believe they said to me 10 years and that's it. And then it's gone. But they hang on forever. They never forget that one piss you took.
Where was it? Where was the place?
It was a town called Ballarat, which is a mining town. It's a really good touristy spot, but it's a small town, probably about 80,000 people. But it's sort of it's out of the city, like it's the other direction from the city. We used to go up there all the time, and
mine?
Nah, just to go to the clubs and bars. There's a good college town up there as well, so it was great just to. We didn't want to go into the city of Melbourne all the time. We went the other direction. It was awesome. But, $350. And I just went out of there just, like, so embarrassed. The kid before me had been kicking in windows of McDonald's, smashing windows. He got a $500 fine. And I'm like, I took a piss. That was $150 less than what this kid did. And this kid was, like a real rat bag, you know? Like,
what?
You know, I had a suit on.
Excuse me.
Hold on, let me find the
right. I had a suit on, right? I was looking professional. This kid was like in jeans and a t-shirt and
you
stuff like that.
You were looking professional. You said you were hungover, man. You probably
he couldn't tell that, though.
You probably
he
took a leak in the corner of the courtroom, for all we know.
He couldn't tell that from there. I mean, we were a long way away from him, but Man.
Well, at least the rat bag probably had his penis in his pants while he was kicking in the doors. You're lucky you didn't get an indecent exposure.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh,
well. Cost you $350 and probably our Jim Beam sponsorship.
Yeah. Great.
Got your rat bag.
Sorry, we'll get a diaper sponsorship.
It's mining man. Crazy.
JD or TK, can you one up Lee's courtroom story there?
I can't. I've never been to court, really.
Okay.
Shocking. I thought you.
Yeah, saying the only court story I thought of was that time on Judge Judy where one guy was stealing another guy's avocados and Judge Judy said, "Why would you do that?" Guacamole.
I love that clip so much. I just watched that the other day.
I haven't seen that.
It's still funny.
You've never seen that, Lee?
No, I've never seen that. No, I used to love Judge Judy.
Pick your avocados, old man, and there's nothing you can do about it.
That's where that quote comes from.
Yeah. All right. Wow. What a podcast that was. You all deserve a medal if you're still here in the stream team or listening to this one. That one went off the rails early and just stayed there, but that's okay. It happens every once in a while, especially with the Beach Dumping podcast. Please like, comment, and subscribe to No Dunks Though on YouTube. Keep your NBA questions and non-NBA questions coming for the next Beach Dumping podcast. I guess we're continuing with the Beach Dumping in the playoffs, right? We usually do. So keep your cues and your comments coming. Grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com and subscribe to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Tomorrow, Thursday, big day. TASS is what you need to know. Early, 7 a.m. Eastern. You can join them live on YouTube if you want. Giving you a little recap of what happens tonight in the NBA. Then we got the No Dunks Daily Show, where I have decided I will be sharing all 10 of my all-NBA teams, including snubs. And it's going to get crazy. That's right.
Snubs. Oh, I can't.
Well, hold
wait.
On. Do you want me to like just make two more all NBA teams? Like go all NBA 11th team, all NBA 12th team, or is it better just to then have the snubs? Because I got like
snub.
Yeah, let's go snub. It'll be funny. Tens are good numbers. Nice round number. And then Thursday night, tomorrow night, 8:30, excuse me, p.m. Eastern, happy hour charity drive, raising money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Can't wait. Please join us. It'll be crazier than this, if you can believe it or not. You can guarantee that. So that is the happy hour charity drive tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Wow. One for the ages, boys. One for the ages. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, folks. And remember, the guacamole of this story is that No Dunks has been answering doors during their podcast since 2011. What?
Embrace the day, people. You could stay.